Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the members, welcome to our minister, and welcome to HOD and all the senior officials. Welcome to the Gambling and Racing Board Chair and CEO and all the officials, and also welcome to Public Works senior officials and Head of Ministry, welcome advocate, and I also have someone from PSG, coordinator, just the name. Gentleman from PSG, can you just introduce yourself, please?
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm Samuel from PNG. Samuel. 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 Yeah, from PNG.
Everybody in terms of who must be present all at our place. Also thank you to our translators at the back who's doing our service for us and all the other back office support that we don't see. Thank you very much for them. Just members, just confirmation of our agenda. I have spoken to the members yesterday that we will just change our agenda for today. It's like the order of the agenda and one new insert in terms of the accommodation. Of the Westgate Gambling and Racing Board. So just to confirm our agenda, thank you very much, Minister, for your time. The Minister was also not well, but he's accepted to come here for 10 or 15 minutes so we can cover the Minister's information. Members, as the agenda is there, can we accept the agenda? Can we move on? I've arranged with Treasury also for the changes. We will do the 1.1 for the Minister first, and then we'll go to 1.4 to deal with the accommodation so that we can excuse Public Works, and then we will go back to Provincial Treasury for the other items. Is that in order? And go ahead. Thank you. And then the rest of the agenda points, as indicated on agenda, we'll continue with that then. Member 8, thank you.
So you say it's first 1.1, is that correct?
1.1 and then 1.4.
Well, the MEC is still here. Is that why you say that? Okay, I want you to, there's a matter arising from the minutes, and while the MEC is still here, I would like you to address that as well. And that's a 17.6 million rand overcharging from 2014 by the board without the covering legislation. I think it's important. Remember, he was not here last time.
Fine. We've also, that point is also, I think, coming up today at SCOPA, so somewhere that is an important point. But we can go back to that. We can go back to that. While the minister is here, we can go back to that. After the minister's department is prepared for that. Otherwise, can I just confirm?
Can I suggest that we deal with it as part of 1.3, then we deal with the matter in totality.
Thank you. I'm handing over to the minister and the department. Sorry, just if we can deal with 1.1, starting with the agenda. Over to you, minister. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. I had some prior discussions with the chairperson of the committee. What we have received is last year on the 5th. Rather the 3rd of May, we have received a letter from the chairperson of the NCOP Select Committee on Finance to appear before the NCOP Select Committee on Finance, and they can normally give you a specific responsibility, and so they've asked us to come there, and they normally invite different provinces, not all the provinces, sometimes they invite two or three provinces to appear and assess the financial performance of the various provincial governments. So in terms of their request was to look at the responses on the recommendations made by the committee on the 2016 and 17 report. The NCOP Select Committee on Finance wants to make sure that when you appear there that you have actually implemented the committee's recommendations for the previous cycle. They've also asked us to make progress report on the implementation of the provincial economic growth and development strategies, our fiscal positions, our covering bank balances, our cash flow, our debt and our accruals, also our own provincial revenue and revenue collection and the particular challenges, also the aggregate provincial expenditure, specifically focusing as usual on health and education. And they also asked us to make a presentation on the infrastructure's expenditure on economic and social infrastructure, and then generally the economic classifications, specifically dealing with compensation of employees and goods of services. So we went there on the 5th of June, and that was the 2017 financial year preliminary outcome as at the end of 31st March 2018. Now we are now here, and that's why we are not going to present the presentation that we have made, because this was preliminary, not yet finalized by the Auditor General. We have now updated the latest information. That's why Harry and the team will report on that. So we have also looked specifically at what are the lessons learned from that particular experiences as we go in specifically forward into the second year of the FTPPS. And specifically, we raised the issue of the drought was key during that particular discussion, and there was generally satisfaction from the committee side that we have. I have studied the minutes of the committee for the previous year, and the committee was satisfied that we were able to report on what the committee said we had to do, and we have successfully done. I think I can't remember the detail, but I think it was two things which I have studied from the minutes that we have complied with in terms of the committee's report. But in general, they were quite satisfied with our expenditure performance. But as we said here now before this committee, now the true picture has emerged, because this information has subsequently been audited, and it is much more up to date than March this year. This is now October, rather September, so we have the latest information. So that is generally the situation. We have also made use of this opportunity, Chair, to present also to the NCOP Select Committee on Finance our fiscal strategy. We have also made use of the opportunity to discuss our fiscal approach as well as our core principles that underpins our medium-term budget policy expenditure framework, because underneath all of this is a fiscal approach, a fiscal strategy, and core budget principles. So that is also one of the things that we have included in the presentation before the NCOP Select Committee. There were some tough questions, but we were able to answer all of those questions, and we have given a copy of that presentation to you, four members of this committee, but we have an updated version of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Members, that was basically the terms and reference of the Minister's visit and the Department visit to the Select Committee at National Parliament, and the criteria for them prior to that they had to prepare on. And I think the Department will give us the new updated information as indicated by the Minister. But thank you very much, Minister, for coming. I think our committee had an interest as to what information is shared at National Parliament and representing the Western Cape and representing us. So we're glad that you could. Even the Minister was in hospital earlier this morning, but he committed himself to this meeting, and he thought he'd come in and explain himself, give the introduction, and then we will be able to excuse the Minister because actually he's officially off sick. Are there any questions before we move on, members? Or are we going to deal with the department afterwards with the other information? Or anything for the Minister, specifically for the Minister?
Are you saying that the MEC is leaving now, Chairperson?
Well, I'm going to come back to the point that you raised earlier, but just want to close off.
Before
yeah.
he leaves, maybe
yeah.
you can respond to that one.
Yeah, okay.
On the gambling board.
Fine. I also said if they're ready, because it's votes in the minutes, which we said. But
I'm
we will
sure
just hear from the Minister and the Department.
Will be
yeah.
ready.
Okay. All right.
I can just mention that in terms of your agenda that you currently have before you, you will see that there's an item that says support of the legislation of the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board that come into effect on the 1st of April. So that question is directly linked to that particular matter, and I would prefer that Mr. Malira address the committee on that matter.
I have to say, I think what the minister is saying, I think Mr. Malila has requested early on that we bring it into that point. But I think your request is, what is the minister's view before he leaves on that point?
Yes. This is a matter arising from the minutes, and therefore it's not subordinate legislation. It's an act, and the act is not subordinate legislation, and therefore I raised it separately. And we can't mix the two. It's quite different issues at hand. So, Chairperson, if we can just briefly touch on that one on the board itself, and then release the MEC.
Now, thanks. Let me give Mr. Malila a chance, and we can come back to the Minister, because he wanted that to address that point as well.
Chair, good morning, and also good morning to all the members. in fact, as I've indicated, I wanted to deal with all the gambling board matters under one point. The issue that member Ace is referring to relates to the payment by the route operators since about 2014, when the 10-year payment has actually lapsed. I mean, this is a matter that we've, as a department, been trying to deal with. In fact, we have put together a request to legal services on how to deal with this matter. We've worked with the gambling board, on this issue. And in fact, the proposed way of dealing with it has been set out in the proposed 19th amendment that's been advertised recently out there in the public. It's in essence the two operators that have paid their annual fees in 2015 and 2016, whilst that fee in terms of the law had a period of 10 years to be paid. Obviously, the response from the gambling board was that the intention of the legislature, in our view, has always been that fee should continue. The fact that it's not like that in the law, we believe it's a gap in the legislation, and we've asked legal services obviously to address that gap, and the gap has been addressed through the proposed 19th amendment that's been advertised quite recently. In fact, the commentary closed end of July, and we're in a process now of working through that. So it deals with, amongst other, that issue of the payment of the annual fees, and that's particularly by the route operator. The matter obviously is also, I don't want to say it's mixed up, but I mean, it's also related to the whole issue around exclusivity, okay? And as a department, as legal services and the board, we wanted to deal with both those matters as one, given, that there is a 10-year period in relation to both of those. So once we've worked through the comments and obviously take advice from legal services how to deal with it, we will then come back to the committee. In fact, when the minister introduces the bill in Parliament, it will automatically come via the committee processes. We have also responded to a letter that we've received from yourself in relation to some newspaper articles obviously that are outside, and all the matters are actually related.
Thank you. I think Member Ace, the minute actually says the resolution we took was to ask the board to come and to give us an explanation, but we're glad that the department is briefing us. Before we move on, is there anything from the board, from the chairperson and CEO on this matter? Anything that you want to add to what was said by Treasury?
Yes,
sir. Fine. Just for the members, I have written to them, to particularly when it came up in the newspapers, to get more clarity on behalf of our committee's sake, so Member Ace.
So you will address the newspaper issues a bit later, and that's fine. I just want to check in with the MEC. Was this amended bill taken to Cabinet, and did Cabinet give approval to the 19th Amendment? And is there any indication that this bill is going back to Cabinet, or is it now going to be processed by the Standing Committee as part of an amendment to the legislation? In September, Chairperson, the next round is annual reports and adjustment budget. and we will not allow them to put pressure on us to just rush that bill through. There will be proper hearings right through the province in this regard. And you know, we only active till the end of November and we sit every single day. So I want to understand what's the process and whether it's going back to cabinet for an amendment as I did two times with the educational bill.
Maybe Estian must also come in here, but what I know, we have taken the bill to cabinet, and the cabinet has approved it, and based on that is now in the public domain for comments. So your question is whether the comments will now come back, and that comments will be worked into the bill, and when it will come back to the cabinet. Estian will comment on that process.
How about you,
Chairperson, as Mr. Malila has indicated, we're currently working through the comments. They're quite substantial, voluminous comments, both from industry, various role players, and depending on the advice of legal services, if need be, if there's substantial changes to the current draft, then it will go back to Cabinet to consider and take it forward. Otherwise, if there are no substantial changes, the matter will go its ordinary route through the legislature.
I think members, late in the year, even before we close the end of the year, there will be another session that we will work this feedback into in one of our committee sessions. Any further questions, Member Bevengo? Doing now is to cover up a mistake that was made. What I'd like to know is how come? Remember, exclusivity was like a red flag for these casinos. Everybody was watching. When is the exclusivity agreement going to stop for each one of them? How did this one slip through the cracks that you did not see? You were still collecting fees from whoever you were collecting from for 2 years, if I'm not mistaken, illegally, when the exclusivity agreement had already lapsed. How did that happen? That's what I'd like to understand. Not what you're doing to correct it, because you're obviously going to try and correct it retrospectively. I also don't know what's written there. I'd like to know how it happened that this slipped through the cracks, that this lady who joined early in the year picked it up immediately when she came. Remember?
Thank you. Just one confirmation, is it only the two financial years that you said 2015 and 2016, just to make 100% sure? Second question is it the amount, still the amount that you referred to last time, is 17.6 million rand? And if not, what is the correct amount? And then thirdly, is did any of the route operator, did they claim back any of the money? Or did they indicate their displeasure with you creating and levying that money without the necessary legislative authority to do it?
I'm going to give Member McKenzie a chance to ask questions, and I would like us to close on this topic, as I say, for now, because we will have more time in the future to get some more detailed and progress reports on what is happening. But thanks for the questions, Member McKenzie.
Thank you, Chairperson. On this particular matter, and I remember quite well, I've got a bit of questions on this matter, which is the reason we made the resolution at that committee to invite the board to come present. So my notes on this matter, I did not bring with, because in here is a resolution that we need to adopt at the meeting today to invite them to come and brief us on this matter. So I'm just going to feel like I'm not going to be assisted at this meeting, because my notes on this matter, I didn't bring with. This is a bit unfair.
Thanks. Let me ask Stacey to respond, and then I would like to close on this important question, but we will in future have to deal with this. Over to Provincial Treasurer.
Chair, on the three questions posed, I would agree with your previous resolution to actually get the Gambling Board to come and report. I mean, the fee in question accrues to the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board and not to the Revenue Fund, not to the Treasury. So I think the Gambling Board must come to this committee. I mean, we will support them. and come and explain to the committee what exactly happened. And as I said, as a treasury, the department responsible obviously for the legislation, we are looking at processes in terms of how to address the shortcomings that's currently in the legislation.
So, the treasury can't run away from this. The gambling board is an entity of them. There is the executive authority. That's why I said before the executive authority leaves, we want an answer. To run away from this now, just say the three, just say yes. It's 2 years, it's 17.6 million, and they didn't claim or they claimed something. That's all I'm asking, Chair.
Member, we will get that information.
No, no, we want it from Treasury, Chair.
Yeah, but we will get it, but we don't have to do anything today. Because as Member McKenzie said,
why are they not giving us that, Chair?
No, I think you must assist back as what we decided. We've said our own resolution.
Show me that in the resolution.
Read a minute, 4.3, read a minute.
Show me.
4.3 is the minute said that we took a resolution that the board will come and explain. But I agree that we, the Treasury will have the questions and let them come with answers. Yeah. Let them come with the answers, but it doesn't have to be today. We have an agenda to follow. I allow that to come in to make sure while the minute is here, to get the upfront high-level information.
May I ask? Chief, you are right. There might be a resolution that says that the board will. At the time when we made that resolution, we did not know that Treasury and the MEC was going to be there. And seeing that the entity reports to the both of them, we are just feeling that it's just an opportune opportunity for them to now speak, because these people, they have oversight over them. So it's just opportune that they are here. Else, we will have their report, and then we'll have to call them back. We're also trying to save time.
Member McKenzie.
I don't disagree with the member, but I didn't think that notes would, because as far as I know, we're going to adopt the resolution to that.
The board come and let the executive authority answer.
Yeah. Let me just for the last time say, there was questions posed. You're welcome to answer now. If you're not ready, you're welcome to give us answer at a later stage. I'll give you that that option. But in closing, I would like you just to respond.
Chair, I mean, from our side, we will respond to the stuff. Obviously, this matter was not on the agenda. Okay, so in terms of providing the information to the committee, I would like to give the factual information, because the members asked now for factual years, factual amounts, and I'm not in a position at the moment to give that, given the fact that I haven't brought those documentation with me. We're quite prepared to come to this committee with the gambling board, which I think it's the right thing to do, that we explain it, and you know, there's no he says, etc., but I think you need to provide us an opportunity to come with all the facts.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, your team. Thank you for the response. I think we will stick with that. We will get them back. We will get the information that we need, as you asked me, but we will get that.
I must just raise this. This was raised on the 20th of June. We were supposed to get that report today. June, July, August, September. That's where we stand, Chairperson. And they don't know.
Members, we will get that information from the board and from as well as Treasury. Thank you. Can we move on then to the next item? And thank you very much for Public Works, senior officials that are here. That is 1.4, relating to the accommodation of the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. I'm just asking officials just to step forward. Minister, you are excused, and thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for coming. Just ask Public Works to step forward and can get the input as well. All right. Thank you very much. Moving to the next item, we're handing over to Treasury.
When are we getting that presentation? Busy with
1.1. They've asked that they will. We can, as said, our next program, when we do the program, we can slot that in for them to come and report to us.
But we should report to 1.1.
We were dealing with 1.1. So let us look
at
our.
Look at performance for the 2017-18 financial year preliminary outcomes. I didn't hear anything of that, Chief.
I think if you read the sentence further, it was related to the presentation.
The presentation.
Yeah. I think now remember. No. order, please. Remember, Treasury said, the Minister said some of the information is outdated, and Treasury said they will follow up on giving us an updated report on that. So we will get back to the, after this accommodation, we will get back to that part.
They should have updated it already.
But they will brief us, that is what they
but
said. They give us more information. Now, I think we wanted to excuse, Member 8, we wanted to excuse Public Works. We wanted to excuse Public Works, and then we will continue with Treasury with the rest of our information. Yeah, that's why we are here, if you don't mind. Thank you. Treasury is the client on the accommodation, and Public Works is the implementer, the custodian. So between Treasury and Public Works, I'm not sure who's going to speak first, Mr. HOD or Advocate Smith, who's going to speak first on the accommodation.
Chair, I mean, I'll go first. I mean, good morning once again to the members. I mean, Chair, they've asked us to give you a particular letters and update on where we are with the accommodation, and we've, at your request, we've also invited representatives from Transport and Public Works. So, if Chair, if it's okay with you, I can hand over to Advocate Smith and then just provide you with an update in terms of where we are.
Thank you, HOD, and thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Since the last time we were here, there was quite a move on getting the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board accommodation sorted out. So I will give you a rundown of the events and where we are right now. So the closing date for the submission of offers for leases closed on the 31st of May. 2018, we received 31 offers in terms of that process. The assessment of offers were done by representatives of Transport and Public Works, the Provincial Treasury, and the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, as was tabled to this committee the previous time we were here, and that took place on the 6th of June 2018. Consensus was then reached out of the 31 offers on two offers to be considered further. The first one was Century Falls, which was Three Boundary Road in Century City. But when the landlord was contacted subsequent to that for a site inspection, which was core to the requirement expressed by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, he advised that the building is no longer available for lease. So actually he disqualified himself from that particular process. The second offer that was considered was then MWeb Complex, which is at 100 Fairways Close in N1 City. It's a 2,000 square meter facility at 115 rand per square meter. The following site visits, following that site visits were conducted by the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, which confirmed suitability of the premises. And we then subsequently had to appoint a valuer to ensure that in terms of the Western Cape Land Act, that this is leased at market value. The valuation report was then received on the 12th of July 2018. The Provincial Property Committee resolved to recommend the lease at the meeting that was held on the 25th of July. The MEC of Finance granted approval for the lease on the 29th of August 2018, remembering that this is a lease that would extend beyond the three-year cycle. So therefore we need the permission of the MEC of Finance. And then we received provincial cabinet approval for the lease on the 5th of September. Now a meeting is scheduled with representatives of Transport and Public Works and the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board with the landlord today at 1 o'clock. And that is to discuss the tenant installation. In other words, all of the adjustments that needs to be done to the building for which lessee would pay. The lease agreement is then on its route. It's already by legal services to vet the lease agreement, which would then be signed by Transport and Public Works Minister as soon as we get it from legal services. So as far as we're concerned, everything is on par with the program that we've given you the last time.
Thank you for the input. Questions for the members? I think what do I need to say up front is that this committee is determined to get the accommodation before our end of term in place and to assist the Gambling and Racing Board to get to a suitable place. I think we all our role place is dedicated and we're happy that you show dedication here. I think we were hoping at in 2 weeks' time we'd be able to do a site visit, but I can hear you're not there yet, it seems to me, to the building, you know, to the identified premises. But I see there's a few things that must still come into place, but I'll give the members a chance to respond.
Just a question, actually, when are they moving in? Nothing that's an important one. And just curious, I see from the date you've given us, 31st May, 6th of June, 12th of July, 21st of July, and then except for the 5th of July, 12th, so 5th of September, 12th of September, between the 25th of June, 28th of August, there was a month and 2 days. That was quite long. What was the reason for that delay? Because everything else took a week except for that long period. You can just give an indication of what was the delay. Thanks.
Then I just wanted to ask, I think if I hear correctly, but you were the second offer, so that means it's not finalized, or is the second offer basically being accepted, and are you looking at what must the adjustments that must be done? So it means there's progress on getting to that place in N1 City. Is that what, if I understand it correctly, is that what you're saying? So fine, member, we have a copy.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, advocate, for the update. I want to go back to where advocate started, where the process was assessed from June, and we are now in September, which is 3 months, to have done this work. And if you remember correctly, Chairperson, our big issue was, why did it take so long before? We still need that, because here's proof that it could have been done much shorter. Here's proof that if you really wanted to get it done, you could get it done. The process was followed. Within 3 months, it was done. But the other thing that I would also like to know is, advocate has explained the processes where we are and where we're going, but we've not heard any figures. What are we looking at in terms of numbers? Lease values and all of that. I know 3 years, but what are we talking about?
Thank you. Over to advocate.
Chair, the site visit that you're talking about, the site visit can be done at any time. So there's no problem doing the site visit. Let me just explain the process so that you are clear. We received 31 offers. The last time that I was here, remember, we closed an open bid process and we received no offers. We then told you what we are going to do is get nominations so that we can actually physically go and source options. Out of that process, we received 31 offers. The two offers on the table was then the two shortlisted offers that met the requirements of the Gambling and Racing Board the closest. You must remember, the Gambling and Racing Board has offers that doesn't mean that the buildings are configured just as they would require it at that point in time. In other words, you need to take the requirement, you need to look at the offer, and you need to match those that comes closest, because we can't be paying for space that's not going to be needed or used. So it was that process that took place, and that was the two offers. The reason why it took so long and why there's that month is in that period there needs to be an assessment, a physical assessment of the offers. Because what you have now is you have written offers on the table. That must then be evaluated to see that what is being offered is in actual fact what exists and whether or not they meet safety requirements, health and safety things, certification and all of that. Because that also plays a part. Remember the last time that we had the discussion, some of the issues were the appropriateness of the accommodation that the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board is currently in and what we do not want to have a repeat of. In other words, we can't place them in a building and then we have to go through a whole process to get the building safe and secured and all of that, fire compliant and all of that. So that process with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board and the actual offerors took a month to complete, in other words, doing the assessment. At the time when we were then making arrangements with the first shortlisted candidate, the Century Falls one, that particular bidder indicated that that building is no longer available for lease. In other words, that bidder must have in that period offered a lease of that nature to somebody else as well. So therefore we wouldn't want to engage in a process with a bidder like this, because technically speaking there's an ethical dilemma with that. If you made an offer, that offer is open for the period which you undertook. As per the tender documentation, it would be open for. And like I said to you the last time, this is a particularly accelerated process, and we wanted to do the evaluation within the 90-day period to get that concluded, which is why the physical inspection was something that we prioritized with the two bidders that were shortlisted. Therefore, the two most appropriate places, therefore Century Falls and MWEB. We then proceeded with the inspection of MWEB together with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, because this chair forms part of the content of what's going to be concluded in the lease. In other words, there must be an assessment of what type of configuration of the building is required. That must be worked into the lease agreement, because that affects the final conclusion in terms of price. Is the price inclusive of tenant installation? In other words, we give the requirements and they install or configure whatever we need. Or is it a case that we put the Gambling and Racing Board in there and Public Works afterwards go in and build on top of them? It's those options that we needed to consider and what makes more sense. So therefore, you'd see that we then went to appoint the valuer to do the assessment so that we can get an understanding of the offer that was on the table, looking at what needs to be done, what work needs to be done to then assess, is the price that we have market related or not? Or are we being asked something far more than what we are getting? And that's the explanation of the period in between. So that's the process that we have that explains the month lapse. So when we are moving in, the meeting today, Chair, is very much going to determine the program of when they can move in. Because today the meeting is with ourselves, the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, as well as the landlord, to determine, because the landlord has already appointed their own contractors to come on the site. So today they will give us their program on how long it will take to configure the building for utilization. Therefore, after today, and there's not a problem, Chair, if it's part of your resolutions, that we send you the program, because then you have the program as per the landlord. And because that's the program that we will be monitoring, it will give you a clear indication of by when the building will be ready for the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board to move in.
But you're not able to give rent figures yet? Figures at the moment, or do you?
Yep.
That's a question by member Beerman.
Chairperson, thank you. If you, based on the offer received by from the landlord, the 115 per square meter would equate to a rental of about 3,174,000 for the first year. And if you take the 9% escalation into account over the 3 plus 2 years, it will give you approximately 19 million in terms of rental. And then in terms of tenant installation allowance, the offer provides for 500 per square meter, which equates to 1 million rand. That would be available for the foot out.
The member, are you clear on that? Do you want a follow-up? The member, Kenshi, wanted to do a follow-up as well.
No, I think probably the most important question from the tenant, from the gambling board, are they happy with the timelines going forward? Because they wanted to move in. I know they've been waiting for years, so a few months wouldn't be. And then, will there be any additional costs or any expense where they currently, because if the new tenant or if it's this afternoon's meeting, say there's another 6 months, 3 month delay, need to X, Y, Z, we can't find cable X, we must import it in another 4 months, will there be any additional cost for where the gambling board currently is or not?
Just before a member wanted to ask something.
I was covered with that last question, so if you can, but I would like to hear from the gambling board whether they're happy with it. They went out and they, no, not the progress, the protest, they can't be, say anything about, just whether they're happy with the site and whether that would really suit their needs. Sorry?
I said included in the process,
Over to gambling board. I think there's a question to the gambling board. Please come forward, sir. Join the seat there.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. Chair, we visited the property and the board was very happy with the facilities that was being offered, and hence the board resolved to recommend to Public Works to secure the lease.
Thank you. Any further comment from Public Works?
Just in terms of the question by Member McKenzie, the current premises that they are occupying is provincially owned, so there's no rental. So, yeah, any cost would be just in terms of consumption, in terms of utilities.
Members, any further questions? Provincial Treasury, any comments from your side? And then, of course, Public Works is in closing.
Can I just say, in terms of the process, the last 4 months since we've actively took an interest in this for the last 5 months, has somebody written this up for this to be used for future, so we don't sit another 3-4 years for the next group to move into?
And I need to think and pick my words carefully, Chair. The Immovable Asset Management team has been moved, like I said, the last time, since September of 2017, to report to myself. And in that period, Chair, we did work out backlogs for about a year. So in terms of lessons learned, yes, we did write it up. In terms of procedures implemented, documented, and therefore, Chair, I can only speak for improvements that I have done, unless you want to
Thank you very much for sharing that learning experience, and Provincial Treasury, the client, and Gambling Board, thank you very much for trying to speed up processes, and so I think more deeper interest in, as a matter of urgency, that we want to help the Gambling Board getting a proper, suitable place. I thank you very much for coming, and we will hope for a follow-up at a later stage. Member Bianco.
We can't let them go just like that. There's an issue, there's unfinished business here. We needed a report. If you remember correctly, we asked advocate to go back and go and search for the reasons why it took so long to get to this point. And it was a commitment that at some stage we would get it. Possibly she forgot today, but I would like to see that report, Chair. What's the reason that it took so long? Somebody was given a job to do. They didn't do it, because clearly if they did, here's proof that if you had been given the job and you were supposed to do it, here's the proof you could do it. I want that report, please.
Now, I think the advocate referred to when she took over and how she dealt with the backlog. I think she has said that, but I think you've asked the question now again, why did it take so long? And I know you expect the advocate to ask what happened prior to her time, you know, so I'm not sure if she wants to comment.
No, Chairman, don't you go like that. You remember, the advocate herself said, I will go back. If you want me to put a report together, I will bring it onward.
Over to you, advocate.
Yes, ma'am.
Because she actually said she can't remember that.
No. Chair, I did say that. I must just also say that in all fairness, we were only informed about having to be at this meeting yesterday. So if you give me a due date and a time and let me know, then I will have the report here as I always do, Chair.
Thank you very much. We'll give you time to do that homework or research, and then we'll call on you again. But thank you very much, Provincial Treasury. It's much appreciated for the feedback and the progress report. Thank you. We're going back to just the other part of 1.1. I think we spoke earlier. HOD, there is a report given to us. Part of the information, members, we all have it. Would you like to speak to that provincial treasury?
Sure, I'll speak to talk to the licensee.
All right, thank you, Chair. Just in terms, before I get to the latest figures, I just want to give some background, just a bit more than what the minister spoke about in terms of the presentation. So the Select Committee of Finance, in terms of the requests to the various treasuries, they have a very bespoke in terms of agenda that they ask the treasuries to come and present. So specific things in terms of that we have responded to. That's the first thing. The second thing is the committee obviously also in terms of look at in terms of the kind of presentation we made in the previous financial year, which would be the 16-17 financial year, indicating and the report that they put together was asking the Western Cape specifically to come back in when we're putting the presenting the outcome of the 17-18 budget to indicate in terms of how the Western Cape takes our socioeconomic indicators into account when we're doing planning and budgeting. So I need to explain that to the committee because that's the rationale of how the document that you have in front of you that was presented to the NCOP was actually crafted. So in terms of that outline, in terms of that what the minister was explaining is in terms of, we then obviously explained to them in terms of the rationale for, regarding our 2018 budget, but also then in terms of the socioeconomic indicators, meaning our Pareto indicators that we took into consideration when we put the 17-18 budget into. When we then go straight to the numbers then on that slide, so we are now going straight to your preliminary outcomes, and that is on terms of slide number 18, and that is in terms of your revenue. Yes, the numbers are to a certain degree outdated, but just on the margin, I will explain in terms of where the major outcomes, the major differences are. So in terms of, just in terms of preliminary receipts, and this was presented to the Budget Committee as part of the fourth quarter presentation, as well the numbers did not change as at this. This number that we presented to the NCOP at that stage was also presented to the fourth quarter for the Budget Committee. So at that stage, we over-collected on our revenue, as indicated, and the various reasons therefore. They also asked us in terms of when we're putting our budget together for revenue, what are our risks that we take into consideration? And then I highlighted to them in terms of what we considered when we put the budget together, what our receipts risks would be, and what we at that time contemplated what our challenges would be. That is on slide 20. When we go to the expenditure, and that is now the updated information that I have provided you, so to show you in terms of how the numbers changed mainly on the expenditure side. So preliminary expenditure as of 31st of March, what that represented was in terms of the books not closing as yet, meaning journals were still being done within departments, and it also meant in terms of where we find ourselves now is that anything that was picked up through the audit then could have changed through the audit period as well. So at that stage, the context was that we had underspent our budget, by 706 million rand, which is about 98.8%, but then when we look at in terms of where we stand as at Monday, this is the latest figures that we have, so this is the audited numbers that we have for you. Our underspending in the province reduced to 527, from 706 to 527, and that then we stand at a 99.1% of budget. So just overall, very quickly, in terms of you asking me where those numbers are in terms of changing, it is majorly in terms of the Department of Health, which in terms of your blue one here said 242 million rand, they ended up at 190 million rand underspending. The other major change was on Transport and Public Works. Again, this is now after journals have gone through, is in terms of Transport and Public Works, and the blue one was showing you 185 million underspending, and they ended up at just about 45 million rand. So those are your major changes in terms of expenditure, in terms of after journals have gone through, after the audit, and these are also the numbers that you are going to see that the departments now will be presenting in their annual reports, both to the standing committee, and these are the numbers that will also then go to the to SCOPA as well. So that's on the expenditure side in terms of the expenditure, just then to indicate that as the standing committee, Select Committee of Finance, they also zoom into health and education, so we gave them a bit more information as requested per them. They indicated what they wanted to see specifically with education and specifically with health. And you'll see in terms of, we highlighted in terms of education was highlighting the LTSM expenditure, as well as in terms of some of the trends that we saw in the non-profit institutions, which is transfers to schools for norms and standards payments. When we look at the Department of Health, the Department of Health, they asked us specifically to look at in terms of the spending pressures within health, which the Standing Committee of Health would be well aware of in terms of the inventory, goods and services expenditure on in medical supplies as well as laboratory services. That was highlighted, as well as something in terms of the Select Committee looked at in terms of across all provinces, is in terms of claims against the state. That was also highlighted in terms of health, and indicating that when we copy ourselves to the other provinces, the amount that we actually have paid in terms of claims against the state is much less than the other provinces. But what we have seen is the fact, if you see the last financial year, I'm now on slide 31, is in terms of there has been an increase in terms of the payouts in you compared to previous financial years. Part of that is in terms of bad timing of budgeting, in terms of being able to predict exactly when a payment need to, or when a case would be finalized in order to make a payment, which is the most difficult part that the department faces when they're putting the budget together. Then in terms of the expenditure that you see there, it's a bit different showing, because again, Select Committee of Finance wants to look at social and economic expenditure, and that's 98% spend at that time. And then a snapshot as of the 31st of March in terms of what the commitments were against the Provincial Revenue Fund. In terms of the Provincial Revenue Fund, it's not only looking at what the cash balances are, and this is what we highlighted to the NCOP, it is more in terms of what are those commitments that that we have in terms of contractual obligations in terms of against those cash balances at a particular time. So that you see in slide 33. And then when we look at now moving from 35 onwards, 35 looks at debt accruals, unauthorized expenditure, and irregular and wasteful expenditure. Again, all this information will be now in annual reports that will be going to the standing committees, and in terms of SCOPA, just to indicate as well that the unauthorized expenditure, yes, the slide is blank, that's slide 39, because we do not have unauthorized expenditure as previous years in this province. And then it goes on to your accruals as well as your provincial irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And you'll see that there's decreases in most of them comparing them to opening balances. And then lastly, in terms of the Western Cape, we wanted to share in terms of the challenges we're facing, the lessons we've learned, and how we're responding to that, either in the current financial year, but also in terms of what we consider further work going forward, Chair. That's in a nutshell in terms of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vick. Very detailed information. Members, are there any questions? Are you satisfied with the reports, the information, member?
Just overall information, please. The one is, what happened in the previous financial year when there was a problem with the auditing of agriculture? Was that then finalized? Because, I mean, it's a knock-on, and I would like to understand that. And now in this year, I see you say this is up to Monday, and you said audited. I don't know what you meant by audited, whether internal, external, what. But there was also a communique that was ATC'd by the Auditor General in terms of environmental affairs and development planning, that there was again a discrepancy, if I can call it that, between the Auditor General and that of the department. Now, can I understand what is the status of that? Was that resolved? And can that process now be taken forward? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks for the question. Over to Provincial Treasury.
Thank you, Member. On the audit of the Department of Agriculture, the Auditor General had finalized their audit opinion on the 16-17 financial statements on the 31st of May 2018. Okay. Then on the audit of the 17-18 for agriculture, the audit had been finalized by the end of July. The Department has not accepted the audit opinion and has written to National Treasury for final correspondence on the view that the department has taken. On the letter that was issued to the speaker on the environmental, at the end of July, there was a dispute between Environmental Affairs and the Auditor General on a specific matter pertaining to procurement, The matter has subsequently been resolved and the audit has subsequently been finalized, so the department should have an annual report by the end of September tabled with the speaker.
The first part that you mentioned here was that agriculture is still not happy with the Auditor General. Now, can we understand from the side of Treasury then what is the next process and how do you actually build on this discrepancy or this unhappiness or this not signing off that's now a year ago and taking that forward, and how does that impact on the audit? Or was there a different outcome on the audit in this financial year?
Thank you. And on the letter that the department wrote to National Treasury, what was your opinion on, or did you write a separate letter to National Treasury? I can just get some clarity on the fact.
What is the expected outcome from National Treasury? That who's got the last say in, you know, closing this matter? I think that's important as well. Thank you very much.
Chairman, I mean, these are valid questions that the committee is raising. And in fact, I mean, we've also indicated to the department, you know, that for the year going forward, we'd not like to have a repeat of the situation because this issue emanated out of, I would say, disagreements between the department and the Auditor General in relation to interpreting how transfer payment should be regarded. I mean, that's where it started, so I think we should just go back to where this emanated from. Then that disagreement permeated in from one financial year into the next, and I mean, there was a circular that issued by National Treasury providing further guidance on this matter, and that was in, if I'm correct, I think it was in about May,
on the 28th of May.
May 2018, which was, let's call it 3 days before the financial statements were due for submission. So obviously, you know, that none of that allowed the department to finalize some of the areas of dispute and so on. And that, as I said, indicated impacted the two financial years. So, as far as next financial year is concerned, we do not expect there's sufficient time for the department to do what it needs to do in order to comply with the Auditor General requirements. And we've also issued that circular. This, correct me if I'm wrong, in relation to how departments need to deal with transfer payments going forward. But there is a historical issue in terms of the disagreement. I mean, the department has consulted legal services on how to handle this. I mean, I should also put on record, we have tried to assist in resolving it. I mean, we normally do that, and it's part of the dispute resolution process. We get involved, and unfortunately, we were not able to find each other in this process. I mean, that's the long and short of it. I think, I mean, just to perhaps add a little bit more detail, I mean, we were involved in probably about 6 or 7 different meetings, two of which we facilitated specifically with all the stakeholders, so it's National Treasury, Auditor General, the department, and obviously ourselves in the room to try and get to a resolution. But all of that, as I said, didn't result in a satisfactory outcome, and the department sought legal advice and are in the process of acting on that legal advice. It's essentially a dispute deadlock between the department and the Auditor General, and fundamentally, this means that you know, they have to go to a court process to resolve it.
The question, member, is referring to if you have an unresolved end of financial year, how do you continue in the new financial year? Do that dispute still carries on, the department carries on the way they think they want to do it? Or is there AG or National Treasury who gets a calling and say, okay, let's deal with the past, but from this day onwards, that is how we want it done? I think that's the clarity that I think is important for us in this legislation. So I'm not sure. Member Bianca, you want to add to that?
Last week, I think it was last week, at Scotland, we had that document that was issued in May. But that document also refers to a directive that was issued in 2009 already. So I don't understand, in Afrikaans sê dit so mooi, die halstarrigheid van my departement. Because it's there since 2009. And you in 2006 are now still saying what's on black and white clearly says if it's this, then it's that. If you do this, then it's that. Even me, I'm not in the department.
department. I can read it and understand it. What is the real issue? Is the issue Cathedra, that they don't want to drop Cathedra, or what? Because you're also not telling us what was your stance.
Then don't add to the list if it's not there. It doesn't belong there. I know you're making examples,
yeah.
But Member McKenzie?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've also been in so many committees where this matter was discussed. But I just wanted to get clarity from the, because I know, I think the latest you indicated that there was no legal, because I remember in one of the committees I said, I hope it doesn't get to legal opinion stage, which I see now it's currently is. For 2017, 2018, and obviously we'll get there with the department, did they continue? Are we expecting the same outcome? For 2017, is that my right understanding? So they went on to continue the way they interpreted 2016, 2017. I think that is important. And then on your last letter, and I haven't been to any of the matters where it was discussed, to National Treasury, because now they've written to National Treasury, dispute, legal process, likely court. What was your view on that matter?
It's not an issue of agreeing with the NEC. I mean, we have looked at the facts of the matter, and I think that we've analysed it, we've looked at the legal opinion, and I think, Chair, I'm going to stretch my memory, and I hope not to be quoted. But I will tell you what our view was. Our view was that, given the technicality around the matter, that we the evidence suggested that this is a transfer payment. I mean, that was our view, right? So. I can't stretch my memory now, so the fact is the technicalities around it, but we've got a paper on it, we've prepared it. In fact, we submitted that to National Treasury, and that's why I'm saying we couldn't resolve the matter. And Chair, I mean, those things, it's not a secret. I mean, we submitted those documents, I mean, personally from our office to the Director General of National Treasury, also asking him to intervene in the matter. And all of this, obviously, it just landed in a space where we couldn't find one another. On the issue, so the issue would have applied to 16, 17, 17, 18, because remember those agreements were already in place, and it was too late to change anything. The expenditure already incurred, it was after the fact. But Chair, we were clear in terms of how the department should deal with it going forward. All right. So notwithstanding the disagreements, notwithstanding the technicalities of that, we were clear that they must take that guidance, the late guidance that came from National Treasury on 28th of May. And deal with it in a particular way. In fact, we put a task team together to assist all the departments to make sure there's no confusion and there's no risk. The risks that are identified are then managed so that we don't have a repeat in the 18-19 audit. I hope I've covered the question.
Thank you very much. I see Member Bielunga, Member Aistel, want to ask questions.
Just for my own edification, why would you not consider consultants payment as transfer payment?
So, Chen, I'm going to ask Aziz to assist. I mean, these definitions on transfer payments, which in a nutshell means that you might get nothing in return. So if you use a consultant to deliver services for you, you are getting something in return. So that would be consultants are generally good services. Correct.
That's right.
And a transfer is basically you give the money away, you know, for public benefit, but not for yourself.
But that's not a requirement.
Maybe just to add to that, can you just then simply explain, are you in agreement with the Department of Agriculture, or are you in agreement with the Auditor General? You just said transfer payment, so let us just understand who said what, so we understand it clearly. And then, Chairperson, this consolidated financial statements at the end, how did you do it, and what did you do, or did you just go about factoring in, or what did you do to get to your final numbers in terms of a consolidated document that you had to hand in?
Thank you, Member. Over to the department.
I'd like to answer this. I mean, based on the facts that were presented to us, about it was, you know, we could not understand the business or the case that the Auditor General had made in order to interpret transfer payments differently, given Member Bielenkov the definitions that the modified cash standard, all the different guidance documents that were on the table at the time. We could not find a reason to come to a different conclusion. I mean, that's how I prefer to answer the question.
Do you agree with the agriculture report?
Based on the facts that were, yeah, I mean, that's the interpretation was the same.
Thank you for the response.
Chair, on the consolidation of the financial statements, the consolidation brings together 14 departments plus the PRF. At the time of consolidation, the issue on the agriculture matter did, from an auditor general's perspective and an auditing perspective, it was not considered material in relation to the entire provincial consolidation. So you could have 14 departments, and if one department is qualified, it could have zero impact on the overall consolidation of the province.
So they just went ahead and chairperson and consolidated as...
We consolidated the figures as was presented by the departments. So what essentially what we had was we consolidated 12 departments,
yeah,
plus one department, audited financial statements without the opinion.
And the agriculture one, chairperson?
That's the audited financial statement. It's the financial statement with a qualified audit opinion.
Why do you put consultants? Why do you call consultants? Rather, why would you put them under goods and services? You get something out of it.
There would be a service that's required in the
on your behalf.
Well, they would essentially do a service, either produce something for us, or provide us with intellectual property or physical services.
On your behalf.
For us.
Something that you should have done.
Yeah. Well.
Yes. Why else would you have a consultant? It's something that you should have done, but you can't. So now you get a consultant on your behalf.
Yes. You, all departments have that responsibility or discretion that they want to do themselves or outsource. But there's a process. I think that's important. The process for the work they do. To get the work done, I think that's critical.
So, Chair, I think I understand the question. So the consultants do something for the department, right, directly for you, within your mandate, or you require service, you require something to be produced, they do it for you, get something directly back from the consultant or service provider. No, I think that's not the criteria. The criteria is that you get a direct benefit to you. It's not about on your behalf. It's whether you get a benefit or not. It's required.
Member
Ace,
thank you.
I just want to understand the process taking it forward now. We said there was legal opinions that they received now. And my understanding is that agriculture is going to take this to court now. Where do you take it to court? Do you take it to which court do you take it to? I just want to understand what's going to happen and where this is going to end. Who's actually going to decide on this issue that's actually an intergovernmental, almost like an issue that's going to be in the High Court now? It's very unfortunate, I must say. That's the first question. The second one is, I just want to understand what was the dispute between environmental affairs and the Auditor General, and whether it was the same issue. If not, what was the issue that was resolved? And will that impact again in future, or is there now a clarity on definition? I don't want this to emerge again, Chairperson. And I know they resolved it, and they're going to move forward, and by the end of September, we're going to have the report. But just to understand, what was that hiccup?
Thank you
for
the question. Over to the past Chair.
The issue with environmental is completely different to the issue as it relates to agriculture. As indicated before, the issue with environmental was a procurement issue. Environmental had procured, and the Auditor General believed that the work that was done should have been applied, the CIDB, the Construction Industry Development Board regulations should have been applied. The work that was done by environmental, less than 20% of the total work was construction related. The AG interpreted it to be that the entire thing was construction related, so a procurement regulation or rule wasn't complied with, and the AG then alleged that it is irregular expenditure. The department has followed the proper processes in recording the alleged irregular expenditure and will use 1819 to do the proper investigation of whether or not it should have been applying the CIDB regulations. So the department has sought an expert opinion from the CIDB as well as the implementing department TPW that, and an expert in the industry that told the department that based on the work that was done, that the CIDB regulation should not have been applied because it wasn't considered to be construction related.
Thank you.
What was the function that was performed? But to translate what you said now is, did the department then back off and say, okay, we agree with the Auditor General for this round?
Chair, we're sitting with a particular dilemma now that these annual reports are not published yet together with the audit reports. And while going into the merits of this, you know, I think it may be appropriate first for the departments to table those reports, or the general to table its reports, and for the departments to go through that process and explain those things. The very questions that the members are asking, it puts us in a particularly difficult position to comment on stuff that is not yet in the...
It's in the public domain. It was ATC'd by the Auditor General, by the Speaker. So all I'm asking is, did the department then back off? They will then study all of this and hopefully there will be some compromise. And maybe we can get an understanding. What was this that it was not really construction?
But I think,
I just want to comment on the ATC stuff that I've seen. Okay, in terms of the legislation, if the Auditor General is not able to provide an audit report after, I think it's a 2-month period, they must provide reasons. We've also issued circulars to departments to table their draft annual report. And the ATC document I've seen, it's also obviously from the Auditor General, was firstly from the department saying that they're not going to be able to table the annual report given this disagreement with ACSA. And then there was a special report signed by the Auditor General on the reasons why they could not table the report. Now, remember, in terms of the legislation, the annual report only gets tabled at the end of September. Okay, so effectively between the 1st of September, or let's call it end of August, when it was due to be tabled, and the end of September, the matter was subsequently resolved. So what will happen in practice is that those departments will table the annual report. Obviously, I think the matter of agriculture, the committee the committee that deals with that thing must actually deal with it. I'd also maybe propose, Chair, that maybe even this matter around the audit outcomes, etc., for the entire province, that those things actually be taken to the budget committee process where all the chairs are sitting, and then even the other chairs, whether you're from a particular standing committee, have got the benefit of some of the information. We have a scheduled session with the budget committee on the annual report and the annual report process, and we share that space with the Auditor General, at which they will also share the audit outcomes publicly with the committee, and where some of these questions could obviously be posed. So I think from a treasury oversight perspective, we can give you the aggregate numbers for now, I think we should maybe pull in the budget committee and some of the other chairs to deal with the stuff.
Thank you for the response. Thank you for the questions. I think that is the way to go. I think it would be more inclusive, and of course treasury will have to repeat themselves here and at the budget committee also. But I think maybe at one stage, member HB must. Committee must maybe not be shy to even invite agriculture to understand from them directly, how about the past and for the technicalities that we now debate. but move up, particularly moving forward, how can we get all the purpose to understand what the AG wants or National Treasury wants, that we're all on the same page.
Because I see the goalposts shifting all the time, and we're busy with provincial treasury, and they're accountable to this committee, and they must answer. And if they don't guide the departments properly or help them to interpret the circulars and the legislation, it's them that must answer that. And I think that's a major responsibility on them. And I think it would have been a very simple answer given that they could have given to us. Now they're making it a big issue, and we don't want to make it a big issue, but we will make it a big issue.
But I think that if the department declares the dispute as a process, then it doesn't, I mean, the Treasury gives the guidelines, as they said there, but individual departments have had some questions, they resolve some with AG, and of course one is still outstanding. So.
I'm sorry, I must say this, I see a trend of closing down on information. Earlier on they didn't also want to give us the information, standing from the 20th of June, now we see exactly the same. And one of the officials was on the point to give us the answer, again, zoop, closing down.
Anyways, we will get it at the right and appropriate time, I can assure you that. But thank you very much for this presentation and for the additional information that we got out. I just wanted to check 1.3, there's still outstanding information, and we can move to 1.3 on the agenda. Over to Provincial Treasury.
Yeah. Chair, we've prepared a presentation on 1.3. If we can just excuse some of the members, that's not their time.
Okay.
So we're dealing with that. And Ms. Horton will take the committee through 1.3 and just sort of brief you on the supported legislation that came into effect on 1 April 2018. I think you have the slides in front of you.
Administrative adjustment in terms of inflationary adjustment to these fees.
Thank you very much. Any questions, members? Members?
Was this the only subordinate legislation for this year? I'm not referring to gambling and racing because that was never our question. Our question was any subordinate legislation of the Treasury where they, the responsible department, maybe the answer is still the same, but can I ask, is that, was that the only subordinate legislation?
Chair,
as far as I can recollect, I mean, our legislative powers sits effectively in the gambling environment, as well as obviously PFMA, MFMA in the main. And this was the only regulations that was approved by Minister on this year. Obviously, other than the other one that's not approved, that's just been open in the public process at the moment.
Thank you very much. Any further questions? why are you interested in the environment now? I know you never liked the environment. Now you're interested.
Because not even people are doing this. They don't even know they must pay a fee.
Oh, all right. I thought you had a personal interest. Sorry. I apologize. Can we move on to the next item? Thank you very much for information. The preferential procurement. Member A.
Chairperson, I still see the board present here.
Yes, sir.
And when we get to the minutes, one of the issues I will ask is the matter arising. Where's their report? Maybe they can just respond to that.
The board?
Yes.
Okay.
Because where's the report on the 17.6? And are they ready to report to us? Because, I mean, you don't wait for a minute to be approved. You take a decision and they bring the report to the table.
Check. I think what happens that we take a resolution and then we write to the board requesting the information. Can you do? Only after the minute is adopted. So
you can never do that. You can wait from the 20th of June, Chairperson.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that is what happens. We will
deal. Can we ask the board? Maybe they can change something. No.
But let's handle. I just want to check, Mr. Lekay, what your doubts. Will you be able to sit through? Another 30 minutes. Thanks. If we get to the report, that we can just now we deal with that when I get there. I just wanted to make sure that we cover the next point was the provincial treasury and get that over and done. It's according to our agenda. We'll get to the minutes. Thank you. Over to provincial treasury. Thank you. The preferential procurement.
At the last meeting, we've done an extensive presentation to you. That presentation is in front of you. The Secretariat has made copies for you, and the committee expressed the view of going further into detail and asking questions. As you can recall, it was a long presentation, and you probably didn't have time to ask questions. So we are here to respond to any questions that the committee would like to ask.
I think it was one of the best presentations, I remember. We ran out of time. Member Ricardo?
If you don't mind, I'm going to send my list through because it's still... Yes, I know you did. I'm going to send the list through the questions I want to ask you.
For the other members, we can still do that, it's fine. Not now for the moment, so thank you very much for coming. We will...
The consent through questions can't work like that. He didn't prepare for today. That's why he's got no questions.
I ask him to prepare.
No, bring it back to the table and ask questions.
I ask him to prepare, but I think...
There's so much. We got a lot to go through.
No. Okay, now I think we don't really want to make it as we didn't appreciate what they've done. We really appreciate it. But I simply asked Member McKenzie to go through the document and ask questions, but he looks he isn't ready. So we'll get back to you. Thank you.
What was your take, Nadia, on this CIBD issue with, it's not agriculture, in DEPI and your procurement knowledge, and you, Mr. Smith, the Boffins, the Smiths, are the Boffins of procurement in this place.
You may proceed.
Because of the terrible choice. We've gone through the process with the department.
Department of Environmental Affairs, together with Transport and Public Works and Treasury, both from an audit perspective and from a procurement compliance perspective. When we have gone through, regulations is the higher level in terms of how they specify what should be the CIDP requirements. However, you need to read that in conjunction with the practice notes that are issued by the CIDP. And when you look in terms of what the practice notes are dictating, there is room. It does not make sense to get a quantity surveyor and a civil engineer to do very basic work in terms of what the department was wanting to achieve. So if you do remember against which the scenario was set, there was an issue of the water in the rivers being contaminated by E. coli. That was E. coli bacteria that was coming off of the informal settlement. So they needed to have a mechanism put in place to protect the agro-processing aspect, because it was affecting our international export-import environment. So what DFP has done is to put in a mechanism to re-divert and take care of the water. And all that was done was looking at paving, putting up a couple of trees, and a connector to separate the water flow. The AG was insistent that you needed to actually go through, which meant putting a civil engineer to actually put formal construction processes on the table. So when we actually looked at it, because when you looked at the spec, I think the spec confused them a little, because it was written with the technical broader context on the table. But when you actually went to the actual service of the work that was provided, it was a community-based project that eventually got done by the by getting the help of the community and having an oversight by, you know, the department to land the project, which worked very well, which means going forward, if this is seen as a non-compliance, it will impact the business of environmental affairs going forward. So the dispute was on disclosure. So according to the PFMA and National Treasury requirements, the process is once the AG, in terms of the Public Audit Act, detects an issue of non-compliance to a specific piece of legislation, you need to declare it on the register for irregular expenditure, because it is potentially irregular. And there's a process in the PFMA, which the National Treasury dictates, that you need to go through, because you need to hold the accountability weight vest. So whoever broke the rules, or what were they, how do you deal with the expenditure, do you claim it back from the employee? So that process still needs to happen. So when we looked at the disclosure, the Auditor General is of the view that once they say it's non-compliant, that irregular expenditure is confirmed. While the department is of the view, and we tend to agree with it, that it is, if it's potentially irregular, but there's a process, and that power to declare it irregular vests in the accounting officer, and he needs to exercise his office in process to be able to do that. So that's the financial aspect. So what has happened, they have agreed on how we would disclose it, so we confirmed it with a footnote saying that there's a further process that we would need to follow in terms of the PFMA, and that will pan out in the day. So it may result, because the CIDB, what we're sitting with, is a CIDB saying that they're in agreement with the department, as well as Treasury also, there is a process that we referred back to the Provincial Accountant General, where we've also expressed the view that that it's non-compliant, it is compliant to the regulations. So you will end up with a prior year error if it is found that we confirm that the expenditure is regular going forward, and we'll have to deal with it when that eventually happens.
Thank you.
Maybe
James,
I can just also
add
something to that. So in short, as a Treasury, we agree with the department. We've sought all the expertise from the consultant that actually compiled the CID prescripts. We got the feedback from the local CIDB that agree with the department. We've asked the AG for their legal response or their experts or opinion, which they didn't give to us. And what we as a Treasury have done, we've met with the department, and coming back to the point that Member Ace is raising, is that we've advised the department, you know, that we go a particular route so that we don't sit in the same position that agriculture is. By doing that, we also asked the department to reserve the right to go through the investigation that NIDA have indicated. So there's still quite a bit of work that needs to be done between ourselves and the Department of Environmental Affairs. So at this point in time, the department have accepted, you know, that particular advice, provided that we will then also take the matter further for further investigation.
Thank you very much, Member. I just want to comment.
You see, Chairperson, we didn't have to wait. And it was a good answer. We didn't have to wait.
Thank you very much for the response. Thank you very much. I think you are excused. Thank you very much, actually. So, members, I think before we deal with the minutes in itself, we just want to deal with the point that in the minutes, I just want the chairperson just to come forward to the mic before I pose the question or make a comment. Mr. Lacay, I'm going to take the same line that I took with Provincial Treasury. We have it in the minutes, and we're going to adopt the minutes, but we're not obviously going to change the minutes. We're going to adopt our minutes with a request that you the Gambling and Racing Board come and report. But I will give you the option of saying that you want to come back. There's a resolution we took to invite the board to brief it on the accumulated 17.6 million expired on the annual operator fees, which is in the minutes. So I'll give you the opportunity to say you want to give information what you have available now, or we will also schedule a session to make sure that you keep bringing us all the details that you need to bring.
Chairperson, yeah, thank you for that. We certainly want to avail ourselves of the opportunity to respond in a better way. We have not come prepared here today to respond in any way, so we will take the invitation when it comes to respond fully on the matter to the Standing Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Your point is taken. I'm sure the members are buying into that answer. Thank you very much. That brings us into the end of the official. Marilla, thank you once again. Thank you for the information. Thank you for the Gambling and Racing Board, the chairperson. Thank you very much. You are excused. Thank you. Thank you, members. Let's just deal with the rest of the minutes of 20th June. It was a bit long, a long time ago. May your attention, please, Member Kenjan, Member Summers. Just want to deal with the minutes of the 20th of June. Page 1, page 2. Sure, Member Ace.
Thank you, Chairperson. Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board, the Chairperson.
Where number? Page 2, what number?
At the top there, Western Cape Racing and Gambling Board at the top. The Chairperson was not present, Chair. Chair, you will recall, we still asked that question.
We'll go back to the attendance.
The second one, Chairperson, is the one under number 2. It's July to September 2017. And number 3 is also July 2017 to September 2017. With me, Chairperson? We still need to reach 2018.
January to March 2018.
Sorry? No, that's right. I'm just changing the one. With me? The one where we say September 2018, that's September 2017,
yeah, sure.
And also under number 3, September 2017.
Thank you for that, Member.
That's page 2, Chairperson.
Next page?
Chairperson, page 3. That 4.3, we did not only resolve to invite the board to brief it on the accumulated 17.6 million expired annual operator's fee. And I mean, somebody reading this, I don't know whether they would understand what is the issue at hand. They actually got money that they were not allowed to in terms of the legislation that lapsed in 2014 already. And they must come and explain to us why was it not picked up,
What years was it in? What was the amount? Did they refund? And what is the remedy they're taking? So, although we say it's Provincial Treasury that's the main body here, the board must also come and explain. You will recall last time we asked who was the CFO, and then the lady, I think she sat there, she said she only started in February, and you know what, she immediately picked it up. But nobody else picked it up for many years. So I think we must just change that one to, they must come with a full explanation in terms of what transpired in terms of the issues at hand. Then, okay, that's just the correction of the minister chairperson, and then there's one point I would like to ask in terms of matters arising.
Thank you, Member. Member McKenzie.
Yes, Chair, and also in there we said the board, but can we include National Treasury to be present as well? Not National Treasury, but
Provincial
Treasury to be present as well.
Board and Provincial Treasury.
That's what we're trying to do today, to get them to explain how, seeing that they so that their attention is so honed in on exclusivity, how did they miss this one?
Yeah, but I think to be fair to them, because it was not upfront on the agenda,
no,
then the minute I tried to
in
give
their
them
report,
yeah.
They must tell us how come, if you're so paying so much attention to exclusivity, how did you miss this one? Now, are you done? 4.2, right? The board provided with the reasons for the environment. Are we talking about, well, I just need to remind me now, are we talking about those environments that were moved to the, what's that lady's position, where it was for her salary, that the, are we talking about that? Yeah, that, okay, if we're talking about the same thing, then that's fine. So when is this going to happen, Chair, at which meeting?
There's a matter arising now.
Oh.
You know, we will, of course, we've done with accommodation, so we will look at what our committee closure will be doing.
That's what I said I want to, under matters arising as one chairperson. For our next meeting, we must schedule this. Is there a new committee program?
Yeah, there's one on the agenda. But I think
that
point specifically
is
on there.
But I still want to. Before we speak on the program, Chairperson, a matter arising, I want to ask.
Out of the minutes.
Yeah, I just want to ask the Chairperson, were you actually approached in terms of the process of putting the legislation that they're busy with now into effect? Because that is a major concern to this committee.
The exclusivity in that part.
That's all in the legislation. You know the things that's been in the newspaper